Blog Talk Radio.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
All right. Are you there, Hex?
Yeah, I'm here. I didn't know what happened.
Oh, yeah, I tried to fade out the music and it never works out well. I was waiting for you to talk first, but
I thought it like cut out, so I was afraid to say anything.
Cut it out before it started to get real, real crazy. Maybe I should have left it. It gets a little crazy there.
Yeah. How are you this evening?
Doing well. I know you're pretty under the weather right now, and you're not feeling too good. So thank you for getting the and feel better soon.
So oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm getting there, little by little. But
yeah.
All right. So tonight we're gonna cover, you know, a couple things that's gonna fan out into many things. We're gonna talk about cognitive dissonance and a little bit about miscegenation patterns in terms of media and education and all that jazz. What else did you want to say in regard to kind of what we're going to cover?
I mean, cognitive dissonance is such a broad term to explain like just the lack of just thinking that's going on right now. Actual like analysis of what we are taking at, you know, talking about race mixing to anything really that the media is pushing, like pedophilia, these really obvious things that are thrown in our faces. Whereas, you know, we're a little bit more pedophilia. It's just a big life joke. And so I just find it so interesting that the power of cognitive dissonance for people to, I mean, even if a perfect example of this is sitting, looking at the sunset or looking at the sky with a group of people and, you know, seeing these trails, these chemtrails. And I honestly, I'm not going to go all conspiracy here. Like, I don't know what they are. I don't know what the agenda is. I don't think it's like depopulation and all this Alex Jones crap, but the sky looks like crap. I mean, you look up and there are trails being a grid formation and it's blocking out the sun. There's haze everywhere. It doesn't look normal. And the skies didn't always look like that. I remember growing up being a young kid and seeing blue skies, this deep blue that I do not see anymore. So to get back to what I was talking about, you could be looking at that same sky with people and pointing out to them, hey, why are those things there? Have you noticed the sky just looks a lot different? We don't see the blue sky anymore. And they'll say, oh, no, those have always been there. You know, that's normal. Those are, you know, contrails or, oh, it's just the humidity today. But no, they haven't always been there. And it's a perfect example to cognitive dissonance to look at the same thing as someone and it's completely they're just not seeing it. I think that can the same goes for the advertisement where we see, you know, blatant race mixing being thrown at us and shown to us as just normal. So then it becomes normal, you know? But people will say, oh, well, it's always been like that, you know? But it hasn't. It hasn't. So, I mean, it's such a big topic, and it encompasses everything, really. So I guess maybe we could first get into, like, those Facebook groups that you and I have been stumbling upon and these different memes that I've seen come out. And it's just really, really disturbing. I posted some of them over at Alternative Social just to show people what kind of filth is on. There was this one group called, it was like, White Submissives Love Black Men or something. And it's just pictures of, I guess this is like a fetish thing, pictures of white women, you know, like bound and gagged and being, you know, treated like crap and, you know, wearing lingerie and like enjoying it. Of course, they love it. So they want to be like treated like the slave and have the black man be the master. And there's this whole Facebook page dedicated to this with a bunch of white girls like posting pictures of themselves saying like, I love black men and they're the best and I hate white men. And it's just really disgusting and disturbing. And, of course, you know, Jew Facebook is allowing this kind of filth to stay up. But I posted a picture of a rabbi sucking a little baby boy's penis after being mutilated in a circumcision ritual mutilation. And I'm banned from Facebook. They had my account removed because I was posting a bunch of, like, anti-Israel stuff and anti-baby mutilation. So that's not allowed to stay up there. And also pictures of women breastfeeding babies are taken down for, you know, explicit content. But we can see white women, you know, in pornographic, not even pornographic, just really, disgusting, degrading images. And that's totally allowed to fly. That's cool.
So. Yeah. It's gotten to the point that I saw an image go around from two different people saying that there was some sort of picture where just a shirtless guy, pornography on Facebook.
What?
But, and yet they can have all this other crazy shit out there like that you just outlined. Like, yeah, actually for a while there I was just being an asshole and going around reporting a lot of things. So I was going to all these, like, you know, master and slave Facebook pages and big black cock or what, God, there's so many of those too. Going to those sorts of pages, and they would have these images that were really, really degrading. And, like, yeah, they were edited out or they had clothes on still. But, yeah, it was definitely pornographic. It's definitely violent and disgusting. And I tried to report it. In many different categories, and I really could not get them to take any of them down. So it goes to show, yeah, they won't even do it even if you bother trying to report it. And, yeah, it's really disgusting. But as you said, you know, you can't have breastfeeding or a shirtless man, you know, just normal states of the body. Like, nope, that's wrong. But we can we promote all this, this fucking garbage out there all over the place. And, you know, I used to think it just used to float around on, like, the blog sphere. Like, probably in the past 6 months, before I noticed those kind of pages on Facebook, I would see pages like that on Tumblr and other blogs, like the slave blogs and stuff like that. And I, you know, yelled at somebody who was running one of these blogs, and they all they could say is, like, no, this brings people together. You know, this isn't about hatred and all these things. And tried to feed me that line of lies right there.
Well, I was going to say that there's a perfect example of cognitive dissonance. Like, they could be looking at this complete filth and disgusting image and say, no, this is art. This is beautiful. And maybe it's not even cognitive dissonance. I guess I shouldn't use that term on all of these, like, examples. Sometimes it's just people being really stupid and just not even able to use their own brains anymore, where it's mass media makes up my opinion for me, or, you know, what my friends think, what the overall consensus is at school or, you know, within my social group.
And it speaks a lot to situations where it's being applied outside of the sphere of the internet or pornography, where it's being applied forcefully in like a freaking war against like the Boer genocide over in South Africa. I mean,
yeah.
And people, you know, that's cognitive right there. Like they are too blind to see that that's what's actually going on over there. And but then yet they can accept, you know, they don't even want to admit what's happening there. And then they're going to take this sort of white slavery porn themes kind of stuff lightly or joke
yep.
about killing white people all the time. Yeah, actually, I have an interesting experience related to all these things. Not this past weekend, but the weekend before, I went down and I stayed with my brother, and he was outside D.C., and he wanted to go into the city for the evening, so we went down, and I didn't know where we were going. I've only been to D.C. a few times. So he took me to this one district. I'm not sure what it was called, but he said, excuse me, he said it was like the black district that was the black cultural district, and he said it was getting better, quote, which I don't believe. And from talking to people who live down there for a long time, he's only lived there a few months, you know, and we went into this place. And I didn't know what it was. It wasn't really apparent. This was like an Afrocentric bookstore and eatery. And we go in, and first of all, there's like Nelson Mandela on the door. And I'm like, okay, we're in D.C. You know, there's probably Nelson Mandela everywhere on every shop, probably.
Yeah.
But no, we go in there, and the whole book section is just like Malcolm X and Che Guevara, and it was just really hilarious. And there were some white people in there, and they had, like, whitey dreads with their blonde hair, and it was really bad.
I really hate whitey dreads. They just look so bad. It's so gross.
No, and their hair can't handle it. Like, I used to know, like, these gross when I was, like, 16 and 17, and this one guy that all the girls thought was really cute, like, he had these dreads, though. He was, like, a nice-looking guy. I think he was, like, Greek or something, and, yeah, white people hair is too fine. It can't handle that. And it all just fell out. And now he has, like, a horrible receding hairline. He looks like an old man. So, like,
oh, jeez.
Was that worth it, white dude? Like, dread your hair and it falls out and now you look old. So, but, yeah, it was just ridiculous. And to top it off, you know, my brother hasn't lived up here in a long time in this general area. And, you know, we went to a couple places after our adventure to the Afrocentric bookstore, and we're drinking, and the more he drank, the more he told me things I didn't want to hear, and the more I drank, I just needed to keep my sanity while hearing all this. Like, he told me, like, okay, so I know he's kind of like a rice burner.
Oh, geez, yeah.
And I've been aware of this for a while, but it's really bad. The amount of girlfriends that he's had, and then he told me about all the other ones that he's had. He's like, oh, and then the Indian ones, and then the Latin ones, and then this one and that one.
Geez.
And but the one prop I will give him is we were out at this one bar, and he sees this girl, and I didn't have my glasses. I couldn't really see her too well. And he's like, oh, she's kind of cute. And then he goes, oh, wait, never mind. It looks like a Juno's. And I was like, wait, what? I started cracking up. And he's like, oh, yeah, I tried to date a Jewish princess. That did not go over very well. I won't bother with Jewish girls. So there's that. At least he won't marry a Jew. But
it's a start.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. Like he's a perfect example of these people that that buy into the interracial dating thing. Like he says he doesn't like the European look. He thinks blonde people are assholes. I'm like, you're a blonde.
Oh wow.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah, and it definitely has to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, the kind of places you were talking about, how it's just. It's drenched in all the media. Everything's just saturated in this this sort of propaganda. So, and he's become a victim of it.
It really is like a virus, because I've seen, and I'll talk about my own personal like cognitive dissonance here in a little bit, because I have not always been racially aware, and I don't ever try and you know, make myself out to look like I've always been so strong in my convictions. No, I fell victim to the programming as well, to believe that we are all one and don't hate and racism is bad. I believed all this shit. I never was a feminist or anything, but I was living in a multicultural city and it was just normal to me. We're all one. So I don't even know where I was going before that. I got off on another tangent. I remember how this virus is so strong, and I've seen my own friends be taken. It's taken over their lives. Like I've talked about my one friend on the show before, but just to kind of reiterate, she had been living in Brooklyn, and pretty much like the only places we could afford to live. In New York City, it wasn't like an episode of Friends where you live in this nice big apartment on the Upper West Side, which is like the Jew side. That's where they all live. But if we wanted to, you know, be able to afford to put a roof over our heads, which in most cases it was disgusting living conditions. It was all Section 8 housing except for like the white people that paid rent. So we'd be living in black neighborhoods and. Tormented when we walk down the street because, like, get out of our neighborhood, you know? Like, you're gentrifying the area. They would yell at us, like, it sucked, you know? So, I mean, we can only afford to live in a place like that, though. So it's okay for them to say, get out of our neighborhood, Whitey, but, oh, we got to let them into our neighborhoods because that's what white people do. We just let people walk all over us, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, it was just really bad. So she started dating this black guy who was like a loser. Like he didn't have a job. He had like a kid, was from Trinidad. And, you know, I met him a couple times. And this is before I wasn't okay with it, but I didn't, you know, I was always like, oh, God, I shouldn't say anything because that's racist, you know, like. If I think that she shouldn't be with this guy, it's because I'm just racist and I need to like check my racism. You know, I'm the one with the problem. Instead, that was just my intuition, my deep inner knowledge saying, no, this is wrong. You know, it's wrong, you know, but of course didn't trust my gut and wasn't able to say anything. Well, I was, but you know, I knew it would cause controversy and I didn't want to do that. So I kept my mouth shut. And friends of mine would say stuff to me like, I don't know, this guy, like, I really don't like him. And it would always be like, oh, well, it's not because he's black or anything, but it's just, you know, I just think he's a scumbag, and he was. So, you know, I didn't say anything. And then she comes up to me months later. They had been, you know, breaking up and getting back together and fighting and blah, 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 drama. And she starts to tell me that he's been, like, hitting her when they get in fights. And, of course, she downplays it and says, oh, well, you know, he just like pushed me and, you know, I got this bruise. And then of course it got worse. And I told her like, you have to go. You can't stay with this person or even be around them because if you let them know that you're going to come back after they've treated you like crap, then they're going to keep doing it and it's going to get worse, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she kept going back and she never really told me the full story because I was one of the people that really was against it. I guess other people would just kind of be like, oh, that's messed up, you know, but they weren't really disturbed by it. And I was, I mean, even if it was anybody hitting her, it's wrong, you know, but I just knew how this person had sucked her into his shitty life. And I mean, she was basically paying out of her pocket to like feed his kid. I mean, This guy played her for a fool. Like, it's really sad. And I think that these men know that they can play white women for their natural, like, wanting to help everybody. And, you know, everybody needs, like, a little love. And, you know, like, that's all great. That's a beautiful quality. But people are going to take advantage of you. And,
yeah,
you know,
and
it really is. And she just thought, well, you know, his son was hungry. And she's just not thinking logically. It's all emotion-based. But, you know, it's just so sad and blah, 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 blah. When logically it's like he is a deadbeat dad. He doesn't have a job, okay? You know, it's his fault that he had a kid he can't take care of. You know, why are you even talking to someone like this? You guys are on two different levels of human being, you know?
Yeah.
Ended up really, really bad. And he kidnapped her on her birthday and, held her hostage for, 3 days and, you know, broke her rib, broke her nose, and, you know, God knows what else, because she didn't tell me the whole story. She knew it'd flip out. But it's like she still will, text with this guy or, talk to him. It's like it just blows my mind that this virus, this way of thinking can infect someone so deeply that they will allow themselves to be murdered. You know, they'll put themselves in such a dangerous situation they don't even see the trap that this person is setting up for them, that they're being led to slaughter, you know? It's always really disturbed me. It's as if her real self turned off and some other person, you know, came on. It was just really strange to see this whole transformation happen. And I've seen now with her that it's like subtle little things that she's all into that black culture now and like ratchet culture. And it's not even a culture, but just, you know, that whole way of like living and just little things like the music she started to listen to. And, you know, she had a little necklace like with her name on it that's like a black people thing where I'm from in New York. Like they all have their little cursive names and like a necklace. Like you would never see a white person do that in that style, you know, unless they're like trying to be like a black person. And she started doing that, hanging out with more black people. And it's just like, I can't even begin to talk to her about this. And I came to the conclusion that like, I can't save this girl because she's an adult, you know, and I'm not her mom, and I can't go and threaten her. Like you're going to die, 'cause she'll just laugh at me.
Right.
But it's like, I don't know if some people are just unreachable, you know, and it's sad when I think about that, because it seems as if a lot of people are unreachable, like pretty much everybody I talk to. So it's like, you know, like what does one do in that situation? You know, I don't know, just hide out from the rest of the world and kind of like give up on, you know, spinning your wheels and trying to enlighten someone or show them, you know, what actually happened to them, because they can't even seem to process that. It's, I don't know, it's kind of a strange dilemma. I don't know if you can relate or if anybody else out there can relate. I'm sure, you know, talking to loved ones or seeing like your brother, you know, like his way of thinking, hating the European look. I mean, what?
Yeah, he's not in a situation where like, you know, like this girl was, where she could, like, be killed and someone could end up in situations. But he definitely, you know, it started off with one girl that he was with for, like, 5 years. And we were like, she was a really cool girl. Like, you know, my mom would say things like, well, their kids might look kind of funny. But, you know, other than that, I think she was like, you know, I think they really care about each other. They've been together for a long time. And, he's just, like, not very nice. He's kind of stuck up. He's not very considerate. And she got tired of it, so she left. And it was like, okay, well, you messed that up, buddy. Just like you did the last cool girlfriend you had. He had, like, this beautiful, blonde-haired, like, Russian-descended girl in undergrad. You messed that up, too. So, you know, we just figured, you know, he'll find somebody eventually. But instead, it became, like, he has, like, a roster of, like, Asian girls he's dated, and it just spiraled ever since then. And it's like, okay, like, are you trying to find a girl that's like her again, or is this some kind of weird fetish thing? I mean, it was embarrassing. His behavior is like embarrassing. Like, as I said, I didn't get to spend a lot of time with him for like years until he moved up here. But we were in line that Sunday morning, waiting for this place to open to get some food and some coffee, and there was this girl, this Asian girl, and she probably was, like, younger than me, and comes over and stands next to me in the line. I'm in between the two of them. And he looks over and he, like, nods his head up and he goes, "Hey, sup?" And I was like, "Wow, you're a dork. That was embarrassing. Like, are you serious? Like, you're never going to get a date doing this with your short, dorky self." Like, it was just bad. And then he said he meets a lot of them online, and it's like, oh, Jesus. And the last one was, like, a Vietnamese princess or something like that. They got in a fight over her expensive handbag she wouldn't sell because it was, like, a trophy present from some guy that she used to date that he gave her, and it was, like, $2,000 or something like that. And it's just bad. You know? And, like, he's not in any danger or anything, like your friend was, fortunately, but it's just kind of upsetting because he's clearly not thinking. He's just, I don't know, he clearly has a fetish is what I think it is. Like, even like my friends that are like a lot younger than him, like we have a pretty big age gap. He's like, "Oh, well, you know, so-and-so is really hot." And I'm like, dude, if I told them that, they would like throw up on you. Like, they probably think you're a creep. I mean, like, people, like girls that I know that are Asian literally have told me, they're like, even if they're open to dating white guys, they're like, "Oh yeah, like, I'll like a guy and I'll think he likes me, but then I'm not sure because I think, oh, maybe he just likes me because I'm Asian." It's like everybody loses all around. Like, they get creeped out. Like, you're being a weirdo with a fetish, and then you're going to have, like, these confused mixed children, and it's just bad all around. Like, no matter how you look at it, it's screwing somebody over.
It really is, and I feel bad for these mixed kids. Like, they don't really have a sense of identity at all. I was actually I was babysitting the other night, and one of their friends came over. She was mixed. The mom was white, dad was black. And the little girl was asking me about, like, how many kids do you want? And I told her, you know, like, I don't know, 3 or 5 or 10, you know. And she's like, "Oh, I want, like, one, and then I want to adopt one." I'm like, "Well, why don't you just want to have, like, another one?" She's like, "Because I just want something, like, different in my family. Maybe a Chinese person, because they're kind of cool looking." And I'm like, huh, that's interesting, because that would make, I mean, she doesn't have any strong roots in a culture, per se, you know, because it's all mixed up. So she would then go on to, you know, continually mix up her, you know, family in the future. And I thought that was very telling.
It really is. And, like, there is a lot of, you know, especially in America, I think, there is a lot of somebody with somebody of a different race, you know, or ethnicity, like, decades and decades ago. And, you know, people have these little bits of, like, black or, like, Native American blood, or perhaps Asian if they're, like, maybe on the West Coast. Like, something happened somewhere, but then, like, you know, they were white enough or whatever that they went back in with, like, more white people, and it got, like, bred out, and everybody's pretty much white now. But, exactly. There are some people that, like, they continue to follow a pattern, and I think it's a lot easier now. Okay, like, 50 years ago, people would want to be like, "Oh, let's make this genetic line look more white again and continue with white people," like I said. But now, because of all the push in the media and education system, like, they're going to want to continue this whole, like, diverse paradigm. And that's exactly what this little girl is doing. And it's being fed to her, you know, from the school that she's in, from the people she's around, and from the television that she's watching, that, like, she won't want to find somebody that even kind of looks like her. Like, she'll have a mixed kid, and then she'll get another kid that looks even less like her. I mean, that's crazy, but I don't blame them for thinking that way, because I guess that's all they know now. It's crazy. And I think we had this discussion last week, like, when you have kids, when you adopt kids that are not of your culture and of your people, you don't know how to take care of them. Like,
right, exactly.
Because things are it's nature and nurture, and you can't provide both when those people don't belong to your people.
They don't. They don't. And it doesn't mean that you have to hate them, you know, and be like, like, I'll die, you know? Like, yeah, I understand.
Right.
I hate a lot of people in general. But it's not like, you know, because you're not inviting them to be part of your family, that's so mean. And like, no, got to stop thinking like this because it's just absolutely suicidal and it's crazy. I mean, it was interesting to talk with that mother who was a white lady married to a black guy. And, you know, she's showing me pictures of her kids, and the old me would have faked it and been like, oh my God, they're so cute, you know? But I just said, oh, cool. You know, like that was a big step for me. Obviously, I wasn't totally shunning her, like, you're a race traitor and your kids are ugly mongrels, you know? But, you know, that was a big step for me to just not always play the nice card, you know? Oh, I'll just smile and pretend I'm comfortable with this, even though it's really disgusting. And they were ugly. I'm sorry. Like, they weren't attractive to me. Sorry to say it.
Right. Just be kind of like, give like a mediocre kind of response because I'm still way too nice and I'll be like, oh, like they're really cute, yay.
Yeah.
You know? I have the niceness problem. It's not good.
We all do. White people, if this is accurate, but maybe women even a little bit more, always like, oh wow, that's so great, instead of, you know, just being honest. And I understand that sometimes it's good to save face. And obviously, you know, this was the people that I work for, it was their friends. So, okay, do I want to, like, put my little job in jeopardy by making a big scene about this? No, that would just be stupid and not productive, really, because I'd just be, you know, turning people off to even considering any ideas that I have. You know, they just think, write me off as crazy racist. So it's like it's like walking on eggshells around people. It really is. They're, like, walking through a minefield. You know, like, oh, shit, can't say this to them. Oh, got to just dodge that bullet here. And it really is like a chess game, you know, like trying to tiptoe around these issues, but at the same time making a point, you know, without saying it outright. You know, it's just a weird position to be in to, you know, I don't know. It's strange. But I think that if more people started doing this, obviously not everybody thinks like we do, but if more people started almost like shaming people for their choices, I think that's really powerful. And sometimes I'll do it just through look. You know, a look can be worth a thousand words, you know? So if you just kind of look like disapprovingly at something, people get the hint, but they're not going to come up and approach you and say, why'd you look at me like that? Some might.
Right. Like, it's going to be a lot nicer, like, when it comes to, like, kids being in a situation, because it's like, man, they're a little kid, and it's not their fault they were put in this position, and it's like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, kind of. But when I see, like, some of these couples sometimes, especially, like, black men with, like, white women and, like, blonde women, like, I don't even do it intentionally. Like, I just end up, like, darting a glare at that guy. And people would normally be like, well, why don't you dart that glare at her? And it's like, because that girl looks like me, and it concerns me. And I'm, like, worried about her. And the guy, it's, okay, so I've read, like, some things, and there's different ideas out there. Because, like, you know, people are always like, oh, well, you know, there's no, you know, color doesn't, you know, love doesn't have color, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, with the amount of black and white crime and, like, the enormous rape rates of 37,000 rapes of white women by black men in the United States, and the dynamics of that same kind of sexualized violence in Europe from African and, like, Middle Eastern Muslims, I can't help but think that there is an aspect of malice there.
Right.
And it's like, you know, maybe there are some situations where, like, these people have some really deep connection, but I think it's really rare, you know? Like, I don't care what people think about that. I really think that's a rare phenomenon, and a lot of it is, you know, this programming, and almost like girls are trophies. And there are trophies that are not appreciated, because look at the situation that your friend was in. She was treated horrible. She was, like, desired and hated at the same time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that happens all too often. So people are like, I saw some kind of meme thing that was like a prom picture of, like, a really, I mean, she's, like, so pretty. She's really pretty, like, white blonde girl with, like, this black guy, and it looked really 90s, this old prom photo, and it was like a shooting target on her head, and it was like, take out the problem. I'm like,
what?
No. You should be trying to, like, save the little blonde girl here, not, you know, go after the boy that's, like, clearly, like, prowling on, like, these girls. Or I read this, I think it was on Alternative Social. It was a, I'm not sure if it was from a specific website, but it was a, if I ever dig it up, I'll post it. It was a paper written by a teacher who was a teacher for decades and decades, and he worked in a diverse inner-city school environment. And among many things that he was going over with the different student populations and how they looked at schoolwork and how they went about academic effort and their perspectives on things, that it really was a problem for these like white girls in these environments where they were really outnumbered, that they were being harassed a lot. I mean, it,
yeah.
It really is, it's got a predatory aspect to it. And so when I see those kind of people, those couples, and my automatic, you know, unconscious gaze goes somewhere, it goes to that guy, kind of is like, what the fuck, dude? You know, and this one guy, I think the most recent that I couldn't help it, that I just ran into them because I wasn't paying attention. And he, you know, I kind of looked at him like, what the fuck? And he looked at me like he kind of pulled away a little bit. Like, I think he knew that, like, I was kind of disapproving of what he did here. So, and it's like good. You know, like, that chick looks like me, and I'm gonna stand up for her and not the other
right.
way around, like some people think. That's not going to be effective. Like,
right.
What?
Right.
I'll never understand that meme. Why do you want to shoot her? So.
Because white people are evil and blah, blah, blah. And I guess now
right.
white women are privileged too, just like white male privilege. So, yeah, we're
well,
really
yeah.
privileged.
Yeah, actually,
I mean,
that one of those blogs I ran across was like this. Oh, it was disgusting. It's gone now, right? Link it. It was a Tumblr, and the guy was such, like, a bitch coward. Like, he didn't even have anywhere for people to, like, message him and, like, tell him how disgusting he was. The banner at the top of the blog says something along the lines of, I am a dark-skinned black man, and I love the blonde and pale snow queens or something
oh,
creepy.
Shit.
And it was an entire blog dedicated, it was white women in general, but like, I'm going to say like 95% like really pasty blondes. And they were all naked and spread eagle, and it was really classy. And that was the entire blog, and I reblogged it because I was pissed off about it. And people, all your little feminist people, when we say in universities and on websites and stuff, like, well, white women can't be fetishized because they're the standard of beauty, blah, blah, blah.
God.
And I was like, that is bullshit. So I reblogged that and wrote something in opposition to that thinking. And then some person from some it was called, like, Fuck No Fetishization, and it was by some non-white person. And she reblogged it from there. I was like, oh, my God, hell no, bitch. Like, white women can't be fetishized. I'm like, really? Like, what a crock of shit is that? It's a perfect example.
Saying that we're the standard for beauty, maybe it's because this is our country, and it was our country. You know, so, like, if I went to Africa, that would probably, you know, they'd have a different standard of what beauty is. I mean, that's just stupid. But we're...
Yeah, and
we're,
the only reason people would like you is because you would be fetishized in some way because of your hair color. It would be some kind of creepy bullshit is what it is.
Right. But, I mean, is it really the standard for beauty when you see people with whitey dreads and you see girls tanning and becoming orange? Like... Really, is white beauty a standard? I don't think so, because if you look at high fashion these days, it's the white women are all like emaciated and they look very weak and frail, and so I don't even know where to.
Yeah, I don't think that's how Indo-European women look. I think they down some kind of animal and eat it and run around in the snow and shit. I mean, it's like the Ice Age. Like, these women were not frail and weak and had whitey dreads and tanned a lot. What? It's we live in a really bizarre world. And that's because it's all a product of living in a world that has no set cultures outside of, like, you know, third world countries are probably the only places left that have, like,
yeah,
really set cultures, because they don't have as much exposure to all the other garbage out there. But anywhere that's becoming more modernized in ways, it just becomes, you know, like that melting pot idea. You know, everything just gets mishmashed in. And, you know, not all flavors and spices go together. It could just mess up the whole thing. And that's kind of what's happening to not just our culture, but a lot of cultures. They're all being watered down. And the genuine beauty of people and their places, their foods, their looks, their way of life, it's just being, it's turned into mush, really.
Absolutely. And it just becomes a crap culture, and that's exactly what it is. But everybody unites under this, like, degenerate, crappy culture. And, oh, well, we all drink together, and we go to the club together, and we listen to stupid music together. Like, yeah, party all night. Like, stupid, meaningless shit. But, you know, oh, well, you like this song? Me too. Oh, my God, we should get married, you know? We have so much in common. So everybody's relating on these, like, superficial, really stupid and empty levels, where, you know, there's real chance for, you know, people to really get to know each other, because they don't even have an identity. They've you know, attached themselves to an identity that's been handed to them, you know, through this media, and it's gross, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, like, I hate to say it, but, like, I honestly, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV, but Christmas, everybody apparently on Christmas, they just watch TV all day now.
Yeah,
so,
tradition, yeah. Family tradition.
Yeah, exactly. American tradition, watch TV all day. So my family had the TV on all freaking day, and I, you know, had to go downstairs and, you know, interact because it's Christmas with the TV on. And we were watching, what is that movie, like A Christmas Story or whatever? But, of course, there's a commercial, like, every 6 minutes, because TV's ridiculous anymore. So there was a commercial for Trojan, and I would have never seen anything like this a couple years ago, or, you know, even, like, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, of a black woman and, like, a white man, like, embracing. It's not even an implication of, like, oh, well, maybe they're a couple, but maybe they're friends, like some different advertisements. It was like, no, they're going to bang each other, and they're in a relationship, and they're probably going to have children. You know, like, there is no hiding this anymore. It is just that blatant.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. There's actually a great Facebook page. I know that I think you liked it, and then I found it through your Facebook, but it's called White Genocide Subliminals. And I think they've just started, but I pulled a lot of pictures for our show today, for the slideshow on the Blog Talk page, from that site, because it's just incredible to see. I mean, it's so blatant. I saw it's getting even more ridiculous, where I saw this ad today for, like, a water filtration system, and the two parents are brown skinned. They look like some kind of, I don't know, like Latino or something. I don't even know what they are. I don't even know what to call them. And then they have these two, like, blondish kids that are, like, white, and totally, like, there's no way that those two could be the parents of these kids, you know? So now I don't even know what the purpose of that was, just to really screw with people's minds, because, I mean, anybody could look at that image and say, there's no way that those two people would produce children like that. I mean, they both had completely different features. You know, they had darker skin, the children were lighter. Like, last time I checked, genes don't work like that unless, I don't know, maybe that's all this GMO is doing. I don't know.
That's so weird. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've seen a few different advertisements like this. I saw another one on a billboard where, like, the parents had darker features, and there was, like, one little blonde boy and then, like, a darker-looking other kid, like, just really, like, a mishmash of different genetic expressions, and it was really, it's just really disturbing. But, yeah, it's great. It's a beautiful world we live in. I love walking down the street and seeing women in burqas out in, like, the middle of nowhere here in, like, this little town. That's great. I go down.
Really?
I go to swim at the local spring, which is an absolutely beautiful spring. And it's so sad. I would be there so much more if it weren't overrun by people in burkas and fat, like, Mexicans. I saw a morbidly obese two-year-old that had stretch marks. A two-year-old that had stretch marks and, like, was morbidly obese and, you know, is, like, eating some chips with her fat mom. I mean, so I'm here in this beautiful natural area overrun by pieces of crap everywhere. It's really disturbing.
Wow.
Like, I jump in the water and I'm swimming down because it's kind of like a lazy river. You kind of, you know, go with the current. And there's about, to my left, there's like 10 women in burkas with like long sleeve, what are they called? Like wetsuits on, because they basically, you know, they can't show any skin. So they have their friggin' burkas on in the water, like swimming in the water with wetsuits on. And it's like middle of summer. It's really awesome. But I'm just a hater.
Wow.
Just a hater, and diversity is our strength. And, yeah. It's
right.
Really...
You know what I think is funny? When I see all these memes of, like, girls in hijabs that say, like, do I look oppressed to you? And I'm like, yeah, you do. It'll be like a girl in a hijab on a skateboard. And I'm like, yeah, because you're forced to be covered up from some woman-hating Semitic religious system. Yeah, I think so.
It was so weird that I was at this local, it's like this vegan cafe. I hate the people that hang out there because they're all, like, you know, stupid, but they have really great food.
They're hipsters.
Yeah, they're all hipsters, but this place has awesome food. So I was there for lunch, and this woman in, like, a burqa and her husband come in to this, like, hippie, like, you know, cafe. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, why are they here? First of all, why are they in this country? Now they're at the local, like, hippie hangouts. Like, what's going on? Really weird.
That is really weird. I honestly can't say there's, like, there's a large presence of that in my area. Well, especially not where my house is, but, like, near my work. But I have seen, like, more than I did 5 or 6 years ago in the area that I work in. That is for sure. Like, there is a definite growth in a Muslim population. And I'm not talking about, like, oh, like, there's this, like, half Pakistani or, like, Persian kids who's family lived around here for a million years and their sisters don't wear hijabs. I mean, I'm talking people in, like, full-blown burqas, and that's a, you know, it shows there's not an assimilation there culturally, and that they're very, very tied to, like, that religious system that has a bunch of really disgusting ideologies in it. And that's where I become more alarmed about it, because, you know, bells go off, because I'm like, oh, shit, like, you live in a kind of family that would probably, like, beat the shit out of you for talking to a boy kind of thing. And that's disturbing.
Yeah. Or, like, throw rocks at you for wearing shorts on a hot summer day, you know, like, crazy like that.
Yeah.
And they're able to, like, build mosques all over the friggin' place. I see, like, a mosque everywhere I go. There's some mosque being built. And I remember watching something the other day on, like, this mosque being built in Brussels. And these people were getting all of the lumber and all of the construction supplies donated, you know. So, like, these people aren't even having to pay for anything. Everything's being handed. Oh, here, you want to come dominate our country and set up your stupid mosque so you can bend over and worship your pedophilic god? Like, here, have some money. You know, no problem. Like, oh, you need housing? And they're always bitching about how we don't give them enough and how Europe doesn't, you know, give them better accommodations. Like, go the hell back to your country.
Except that, like, you live in a castle and you get community service for gang-raping 11-year-olds, public swimming pools, but whatever. Not good enough.
Yeah. But it's so infuriating to see white people still defending these people. It's like, you know what? You deserve to die because you're an idiot. You're not seeing these people are... They're getting ready to knock down your door and come drag you out and gang rape you and murder you violent, you know, like, and you're still making excuses for these people. Like, that's a severe, like, psychological illness that, I mean, that you can deny what's right in your face. I mean, obviously the media is very powerful when it's being reinforced every day and people are glued to these TVs, you know, that oh, now since a white person knocked out a black person, that's a hate crime. And everyone's like, yeah, that's a hate crime. But when countless black people knock out, you know, innocent, just white people walking down the street, a lot of them elderly or women, nothing, no one gives a shit. No one cares. But the minute, the minute a white person does it, and I think they did it like to make a point that, you know, it'll blow up now. But that's really the weapon they have over people's minds is this deep-seated programming, too, that goes back, that was probably passed on, you know, through just even, like, through our parents, just their way of raising us and their way of teaching us how to associate with the world and, oh, don't say that, that'll offend somebody. Or, you know, I remember my friend Meg, she was riding the train when she was a little girl, and she saw a black man, and she goes, mommy, mommy, monkey, monkey. And her mom's like, oh, God, Megan, don't say that, and probably yells at her and, like, gave her a little spank. And, you know, so what are we're reinforcing, don't point out the obvious. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything that might hurt somebody's feelings. Oh, you know, like, given what kind of children are we raising if we're telling them that their instincts, that their, you know, their DNA is telling them, like, hey, this person's different. And you know what? They kind of look like a monkey. Like, no, don't say that. Don't be honest. Honesty is not good.
Right.
You know, really, that's what we're teaching them. It's so sad. Like,
right. And, like, what you were saying about, you know, crimes, like if a white person or even a perceived white person like George Zimmerman does something, it's a big hoopla. But, like, there's this little-known story about, and it's really fucking sadistic. It's about this woman named Mona Yvette Nelson who killed Jonathan Foster, who was a 12-year-old white boy with, like, gingery blonde hair in Texas. On Christmas Eve night in 2010, she was the building manager for their apartment, and, you know, he's 12. My parents left me here when I was 12 for a brief period of time. His mom was out, and he was going to go to a friend's apartment and borrow some other video games. And on his way down there, this psycho bitch, mind you, who, like, operates their apartments that they lived in, kidnapped him, killed him and tortured him with a blowtorch, and then threw his body in a ditch on the side of the highway. And don't even hear about it. And this was a 12-year-old boy versus, like, a 40-something-year-old woman.
Jeez. Oh,
and just
God.
Nothing. It's just crickets when it comes to this.
Exactly. And this probably happened. I mean, I know this happens. You have to go to a different source to get your news stories. Like, I love Daily Stormer, Unity of Nobility. Like, they're actually, you know, digging up these stories that aren't being talked about, or if they are, they're being totally spun in a way to make the white person look bad. And, oh, like this gang of 300 people chimping out at some mall, and I don't know, was it or something, like, oh, it was just teens blowing off steam, you know, they're just getting crazy, you know, it's after the holidays and everybody's
blowing off the teen steam.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Blowing off. But if two white people went in there wearing a swastika, like, and, like, hugging people and giving them, like, free stuff, they'd be like, oh my God, hate crime, throw them in jail for the rest of their lives.
It's, I know, right?
Double standard kills me. And it's like, white people need to get pissed off about this. And, you know, I am seeing more people catch on to this and just surface and seeing, hey, wait, you know, that's kind of true. That's not very fair. But then they're so consumed by their everyday life of, like, trying to find a job and trying to, you know, just barely get by, that it's like they kind of lose that fire and that passion to change things, you know, because the system beats you down so much that it's like, you know, it dulls that drive to want to really, like, fight for anything.
And even if you get them, like, pissed off about that kind of stuff, like, you know, get into that conversation with people, especially women, like, you can rarely get somebody to, like, look at the J problem. Like, they're never going to look at who runs the media.
Yeah.
They're never going to look at who, you know, is in charge of in a lot of universities as professors and, quote, scholars. I mean, when it comes to cases like, I can't even imagine what they say, it said about the Trayvon Martin case in universities now. Like, I'm sure all kinds of garbage about white privilege. But
they made, even with the
mobbing, like the kids mobbing places, what the universities are going to say, you know, just from what I remember from being there, they're going to say something along the lines of, oh, well, if they were black youth, in fact, they're oppressed, and it's okay that they freaked out and, like, destroyed a bunch of things or killed someone. There was a book called Makes Me Want to Holler, and I forgot the guy's name, but he was a journalist, a black guy. And when I was in my later years of undergrad, we read an excerpt on it, and it was him and his friends. They beat up a white kid riding on his bicycle through their neighborhood for seemingly no reason. And in the book, he gloated about it. And we've read about this as in the context of, like, no, that's okay. He's allowed to take that kind of action and feel that way because of this perceived oppression amongst his people. And it follows through in larger circumstances. Now all of the youth after the Trayvon Martin thing are even more oppressed than ever, and you can't say anything about it, and you can't even identify who was doing these things.
Right. No, you can't. I mean, I've heard the same excuse from people, and especially kids, which is really disturbing, about what's going on in South Africa. You know, how the people are being slaughtered and murdered. They say, well, it's retaliation. It's payback. What?
Right.
They've infected the children's minds with this propaganda so strong that, I mean, they don't even know what the hell's going on in the world, like, anyways, to begin with. So they just shove these lies into their minds saying, well, oh, yes, you know, some white people are being killed, but they deserve it. And, you know, they took that land from the Africans. No, they came over there from what I understand, no black people were even really down there. And then after the whites came over and built up civilization like we do everywhere, all of the black people came down, you know, give me a job, give me this, give me that. And, you know, white people gave them opportunities, and they had a really great standard of living. And, you know, things were nice down there. The white people were the farmers and supplied food. But no, white people came and basically, you know, took over this land and oppressed the poor Africans, because they were doing so well before with their civil wars and their, you know, extreme rapes of women and baby blood drinking. Yeah, they were doing great. White people, again, tried to come in and help out, and that's our downfall. Like, it's a nice quality. It's all cute and warm and fuzzy and everything, but no, that's our downfall. Because we always try and, oh, we just got to understand. Oh, we just got to help them. And you see those stupid ads. And these got me when I was younger. I used to cry when they would come on. Those ads of, like, the black kid flies on his face, you know, and please give to this Save the Children Foundation so this little kid can eat, you know. And I'd just be, like, crying and thinking, oh, my God, I'm so privileged to live in this country and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, it was a privilege. It wasn't because my people, you know, created a civilization and law. No.
Right. I actually saw some kind of ad for kids with a cleft palate right before Christmas. And my mom was like, I would love, if I had that kind of money, I would donate it to help those kids. And all of the kids were third world children, you know, because nobody's born in Western countries with a cleft palate ever. So just forget that ever happens. And my dad was just shaking his head about it. He's like, what about the kids here that are born with that? And I was like, yeah, what about all the kids starving in West Virginia? And then she just didn't say anything. But it's like, yeah, it really gets people. It's really powerful propaganda. I remember when I was a little kid, I would see, like, some hungry kid with just, like, a shirt on and, like, no pants, and they had no food. And I would be like, it's like, only $1 a day. And if you see these National Christians Children's Fund, so, you know, it's like a crock apparently none of the money ever got dispersed.
Oh,
but when
you're,
like, nine, you're like, oh, my God, I got to feed them. And, like, you know, and you think, I can do this. I can give you $1 a day. And, like, I thought I was going to do it, you know. Like,
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They play on our emotions so much. And they've, bravo, because they've done a great job of just infecting white people's minds. And white people always have to be the ones to help out and be the heroes. And that Christianity is real bad for that, because they want to help everybody. You know, it's not like, let's focus on, like, I wouldn't have a problem. Well, I still think Christians are retarded, but I wouldn't have, like, as much of a problem with them if they would help out their own and stop focusing on Africans and people in other countries that, you know, when there's people here that need help, you know, people, children that are, you know, that don't have a family. Of course, they're harder to get access to because of CPS and all this crap with foster homes. But there are children here that need help. There are children here that need better food to eat, that need, you know, clothes or a cleft lip surgery or, you know, a bunch of other things. So why are we focused on these other countries? Everybody's, it's suicidal. It's like, it's, again, cognitive dissonance, because they can't seem to see what's right there. And just to come at it, I know I said I was going to get into it, like, from a personal standpoint. I feel like I can speak on this subject because I've been there, and like my thinking has changed pretty slowly at first, because I was defensive to a lot of this. And so I can understand where people are coming from. And it was someone very close to me that slowly kind of just planted seeds with me and was really patient with me and never tried to, like, shove things down my throat, because I have a temper, and, you know, when I think I'm being, you know, I have to be on the defensive, I will, you know, become, like, you know, I'll get defensive, and I'll, like, bark back at people, and I'll get, you know, upset at them. So I know, I can look back now and notice my own reactions to things and how I, you know, perceived things before, and how it's changed so drastically within a year. It's just, it's so weird. It's like peeling back layers of fog that I was under. And what I think what really did it for me personally was being able to actually see what my people had done. Because when we're kept from our history, it's really, I think this is even like a quote, when people are kept from their history, they're really easily persuaded. And that's so true, because we have been completely cut off from our true history. We've been taught from the beginning, from, you know, kindergarten, that white people are, you know, the oppressors, and they've gone and murdered everybody, and it's always the white man, and, you know, we've basically done no good in the world. We've always just come and, you know, we killed all the Indians, and it's our fault that the Africans are starving, not because they're incompetent and can't, you know, they can't do anything to help themselves, you know, but it's,
and they're killing off the last people who are farming.
Yeah, because that's really intelligent. That's smart. I mean, it just shows you how stupid these people are. But, I mean, I didn't even know about paganism. So once I started to learn about these things and how intelligent my people were and these systems that they created and all of the accomplishments of my people, which took a while for me to even learn because I had to teach myself. And, I had help from, you know, listening to Renegade and, you know, talking with different people of a like mind. So I've slowly been able to come to this conclusion, but I didn't always think this way, you know? And I would hang out with all kinds of people, because I was living in New York City, and I didn't even think anything of it. Like, oh, well, you know, whatever, like, they're cool. But now looking back on it, I'm like, oh, my God. I'm really lucky that nothing bad ever happened to me for some of the situations that I put myself in, being naive and thinking, oh, well, no, they're nice. You know, they're a nice person. I look back and I think there must have been some kind of angel watching over me, because I put myself in some really dangerous and terrible situations and, you know, did have some really bad experiences, which I at the time denied, you know, like pushed it out of my mind. Oh, well, it was just your fault. You shouldn't have put yourself in that situation. But, you know, now I can see the other side of things, you know, so I wasn't always like this racially minded person, you know, and I don't think any of us really were from like birth, unless we had really strong racially conscious parents that raised us in that fashion. But I don't think any of us ever thought this way, you know, maybe 10 years ago. Obviously some people did, they've been at this for a long time, and that's awesome. But for me, it's just been within the past year my thinking has changed drastically. I don't know if you want to like share your side of that.
Yeah, like Well, I've always had, like, a pretty strong, like, pagan background. And, you know, and as I said before, like, despite some of the crazy things my mom might say or think sometimes, like, when I did come home from elementary school, was like, do I have to be nice to black people because of slavery? And she was like, no, just be nice to people who are nice. Like, don't feel bad because you're a white person, you know? So there is at least that versus, like, I know there are people, there are poor kids out there that are forced to apologize for slavery and they have little marches for it. I mean, yeah, I can't be too upset with how they went about it at the best of their ability. But what really, you know, and with my dad being Mr. Social Darwinist, who I never used to just think anything of it. But then when I got into college, you start, you know, it was really confusing for me because it was like some things, it was like, all right, I'm trying to see where you're coming from. I'm like trying to understand why you feel oppressed. And then other ways I'm like, I'm scrubbing floors and toilets. I feel pretty oppressed. You know, it was really a polarizing experience to be in a university as a really poor white person when, you know, I hate to say it, but a lot of the girls in my hall, like, most of them weren't white, but the ones that were, they were, like, pretty well off, and some of them were not even white. They were Jewish, princess types, and then there's, like, me. and I really just felt like I stuck out like a sore thumb through a lot of it. And, you know, and I did things to the best of my ability and understanding. And then after a while, I just was like, all right, I'm going to write about mushrooms, and I'm going to argue with you about a movie that I sat down to watch that you're going to critique that you didn't sit down and watch, Miss Professor Lady, and I'm going to argue with you on it. So, you know, I started getting a little more defensive of just, yeah, cognitive dissonance, and there's no logic, or they didn't even bother exploring things, or just being told I'm evil and I'm oppressing everybody all the time. And when it really started to evolve for me was maybe about, like, where I really started, like, getting on the defensive, and I was like, whoa, 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 shit's getting really crazy right here. Like, it was probably about 3 years ago. I had left a graduate program I started for, like, a couple months, and I did a lot of my own kind of writings that I wanted to do and read what I wanted to read, but I saw what other people were interested in and talking about, and I found it really disturbing. And then I found, you know, just having a personal blog, I would come across all this crazy shit that I just couldn't believe people were thinking. And then around the same time, my dad comes home and tells me he was working for a guy who was from South Africa, and he just got up here about 5-6 years ago. It took him a long time to get here, and that people were constantly coming onto his farm and trying to murder him and his family all the time. Jeez. And, you know, my world drastically changed, especially after that fact. And that was fed by all the other garbage just being put out there that's just blatant lies and has no basis. It's just like illogical fallacies. And I started becoming like a little blog warrior and like battling people, as stupid as that is. But like, I would just want people to know that, like, you're being fed a lot of bullshit through these universities, and like all of these young people floating around online need to kind of take a step back and think a little bit. And it took like 3+ years, but now all of a sudden there are girls, especially girls, surprisingly, by the hundreds, who share like a lot of the same or very similar perspectives to the stuff that we're talking about. And it's incredible to see the evolution of that. And, I felt really alone in it for a long time, but, you know, people are starting to get fed up, and they're even younger than we are, and they're starting to see through it already. And I guess because the propaganda is that aggressive and it's that dense anymore. And yeah, so that's kind of where, like, my journey has came through. And, you know, even though I was never, like, oh, you know, I hate people who are X, Y, and Z origin. And I never will be like that, quite honestly. And I don't care if people think that makes me weak or it pisses them off. I don't really care. It's not necessary. It's not productive. But I will say this, that, I always knew, based on, my natural instincts, that I've never wanted to date people that weren't white. I had no interest in that whatsoever. And I used, and it, back in my earlier college years where I felt like I was being a little more manipulated than the later part, that I used to sit there and think, wow, is there something wrong with me because I don't want to do that? And then I sat there and I was like, I'm white. My parents are white. Family's white. I guess I'll just go out with white boys, and that's just how it's going to be. And then I just kind of stopped thinking about it, because it really was just a natural thing that has ran its course, and I'm glad I allowed it. And, you know, that was natural, you know, to fight it and be like, oh, I need to go find this forbidden fruit aspect in this, you know, Nigerian guy that keeps bothering me in my campus. I could have totally done that, but it you know, I wasn't attracted to them. Even if some of them were really creepy, but even somebody who was really nice, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Not working. Unnatural.
I think that's why people, and we have a caller, so if you're on the line, caller, I'll get to you in a second. I know you've been waiting a while. I just wanted to say that I think a lot of people are drawn to this, race mixing, because it's been considered so trendy and, cool, you know, it's so edgy. You know, why date someone that looks like you, or your babies are going to look like you guys? You know, that's so lame, you know? Why not mix it up, right? So, oh, caller.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if you're cool with this, playing a song, taking a quick break, and then coming back. And if anybody wants to call in, the number is 347-633-9657. And hopefully we'll have some people call in. I know everybody's talking in the chat, so it'd be cool to actually hear your voices and hear your take on this. Maybe you want to share how you came into this information. I know some people in here are old school, and they've been at this for a while, so maybe they could even teach us a thing or two. You know, I'm sure they could. So
right.
I'm just gonna play a quick song here, and we'll be back in a little bit. Is that cool?
Yep, great.
All right, hopefully we'll have some callers when we come back, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
1, 2, 3.
Him the best, and a troubled mind, shirt and no rest, and still she cries. Bonnie boys are cute, and a smile of leaves me, what will I do? There is a dance house in Maradike, and there my true love goes every night. He takes a strange girl upon his knee. Well, now don't you think that vexes me? Him the best, and a troubled mind, sure to know no rest, and so she cries. Bonny boys are few, and a smile of leave me, what will I do? Of the finest kind, but the want of money sure leaves me behind. And still she cries, I love him the best, and a troubled mind sure to know no rest. And still she cries, bonny boys are few, and a smile of leaves me, what will I do? I know my love.
sure to marry, and still she cries. I love him the best, and in trouble mind, sure can know no rest, and still she cries. Bunny boys are few, and if my love leaves me, what will I do? And still she cries. I love him the best, and in trouble mind, sure can know no rest, and still she cries. Bunny boys are few,
Are you back, Kix?
Yep, I'm here.
Cool. So, no callers as of yet, but I figured maybe I could share this kind of theory that I have.
Okay.
I've written it down here on my notes. Well, I think, okay, there's kind of two parts to it. You know how we've been seeing all of this you know, History Channel, Ancient Aliens, and aliens this, aliens are coming, blah, blah, blah. I saw a comment today on a YouTube video that was talking about white genocide that said something like, well, who cares if, you know, there's no such thing as, like, race because the aliens are going to come and then we'll all be the same then, won't we? And then I thought back to that quote that, oh, crap, I forget what president it was. It's terrible. But he made some kind of quote saying, like, can you imagine if aliens came down to Earth? Wouldn't that unite all of us and blah, blah, blah? So I think that all this obsession with aliens and everything is also to, you know, not attribute any of this stuff to ancient Aryans that built, you know, a lot of these structures and things. They'll just say, oh, it was like some, you know, outer space guys that came and did it and, you know. Or Africans, I guess. But mm-hmm. And it's also a way to, I think, like, unite everybody. Because we're all on one planet, right? And if there's an outside threat to us, well, then we're all going to have to come together and unite. And, yeah, just kind of, I don't know, just thought about that today.
No, that's an interesting perspective, and like I understand where you're coming from with that, because it is the whole idea out there is to, like, any propaganda and any angle they can take to make everybody look the same, be the same, unite as one big rainbow, like over and over again. And it's so funny about the alien thing, because like my understanding and just like the idea of gods, demigods, alien archaeology and pictographs and all the physical evidence as well, is that, like, to me, if anything, it shows that, you know, maybe Africans are from a different planet, maybe this is their planet, and then everybody else is also from another planet, because, like, even though there are some migratory pattern things going on, really make any sense. Like, hold on, I gotta plug in my phone. Being an asshole. Like, there are things that don't make sense. Like, since, like, okay, so you have the theory of land bridge, and that's why we have Mongol-type Asiatic people in both over in Siberia and, like, the Inuit groups over in Alaska and parts of Greenland and things like that. But why on earth, if they were evolved and developed for that kind of climate, why don't they have any body hair?
Right.
And why do Europeans? And then people say, well, they have the epigastric eyelid folds, which is supposed to keep out some of the wind and, like, ice crystals and things like that, and why Inuits in particular are small and stocky, and their limbs are closer to the core heat of their body is because of the climate that they're in. It's like, okay, great. But then, yeah, you have really lean Asiatic people that live in mountainous areas in like Tibet and Japan, and they are their phenotypical build, you know, they have some similarities with the Abkhazic eyelid fold. Like, they are still built very differently. Their skin color differences, even amongst those, just the amount of differences amongst all these groups in themselves. I mean, capoid oriented people in Africa, like, their skull shapes are a lot different from the Negroid classes of African types of people. Like, there are some serious physical differences. And you know, not even all Asians like each other, not all Europeans like each other, even though right now we don't have time for that bullshit. But, like, you know, going back, that's kind of how this has worked. It, to me, it says that, like, all these people, like, probably dropped off from, like, different freaking star systems. And I don't really care what people think about that. They may think I'm, like, out there. But to me, it's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, I think Earth was, you know, Earth still is a beautiful planet. And I think, you know, especially when humans first started cultivating this place, it was lush and beautiful and at one point pretty cold, which was really good for our people. And yeah, I so the fact that they take all the, there's all these, this physical evidence, you know, things that they found through archaeology, just looking at people, the evolution of different peoples, and not all of this coming from out of Africa, because that is a crock of shit. There's so many things that point and say, like, aliens equal different people coming from different star systems, not the aliens are coming to get us or help us or kill us, whatever a school of paranoid thinking you want to take, and that we all got to unite under it, or that we're all going to breed out and be like these alien hybrid postmodern freaking cyborgs. So, I mean, it's like, there, it's like, once again, it's something that is old and honest and been there, and then it's been usurped and turned around to be used against us, like the theory that you're talking about. So.
Right, it totally is, because if you have this outside threat, it's like, well, who cares if a race is being genocided? We're all gonna be eaten alive by these aliens. So, you know, if,
right.
Well, if race is genocided, well, that's just, you know, it's the way it goes when there's aliens.
Yeah, because someone's coming, you know.
Yeah, and just on that topic of genocide and obviously white genocide, it's so hard for people to even consider white and genocide being together, because if everyone's under the mindset that the white is the oppressor and, you know, this is all white man's culture and, you know, they will say there is no genocide. It's people that are moving, you know, they're just, they need a place to go because, you know, their countries are war torn and, you know, they're seeking refuge. And that's what I hear a lot of people saying in response to the idea or the fact that the white race is being genocided. And especially I found an interesting video, and I posted it, and I'm sure you've seen it, on like the destruction of the Irish race. And, you know, like, sent it to my mom, who's born and raised in Ireland and, you know, is very proud of her heritage. And, you know, I haven't heard anything back. You know, the video proves, like, all of this mass immigration, you know, Irish people are fleeing. You know, they're going to Australia and they're coming over to America to find work. But why can't they find work? You know, why are these young kids so disenfranchised? You know, but people don't want to touch these taboo subjects, you know, because that might be racist. You know, ooh, don't want to, even with their own family, it's like, like, come on, we're blood. Like, you can be racist in front of me. It's okay.
Right.
And also just the word racist, you know, like, didn't it used to be a good thing to be racist? Like, and why is the supremacy even a bad thing? You know, black people think that their race is the best and that they built everything. And, you know, obviously, so why can't we? I think it's healthy. You know, if you're, say you're on a sports team, are you going to say, oh, well, I don't think we're that good, you know, unless you really suck. You guys just, well, you just suck. But, no, you're going to say, we're the best. You know, we're going to do everything we can to stay on top. We're number one. And, you know, if everybody's off doing that and believing that, well, then there's healthy competition and the best man will win. You know, so why is that even a bad thing? It's just, oh, this liberal crap of like, don't hurt anybody's feelings. And I had somebody the other day tell me not to use the R word when I said retarded. Like, that's how bad it's gotten.
Oh, yeah, you can't say retarded. They'll call you ableist. Like, oh, my God, that's ableist. Actually, you can't say idiot or moron either. It's ableist. So
I mean,
you can't just tell someone they're being a dumbass. It'll become some kind of ism.
That's being...
Which is like a nice university construct right there, is to make everything into some kind of ism. So...
Oh, man, that just blew me away. And this was in response to me getting off on a little bit of a debate or just, you know, just an argument. I don't even know what it was. I'm in a lot of these doula forums, birth worker forums, and I had to just leave a lot of them because these people are so stupid. There's this one lady
like
in there talking. They're hippy-dippy for sure. You know, some of them will be like, oh, I'll support a woman, like a surrogate birth where she's having the baby for, you know, two men and like they're all about it. And, or like, you know, two lesbians and one of them was, you know, had in vitro fertilization and, you know, they want a doula for them. Like, no freaking way I would ever do that. That's just so against my values or anything. But anyways, there's this stupid freaking lady in there going on about how she's so glad that she circumcised her sons or, you know, had them circumcised, mutilated. This shows their covenant with God. And her husband, you know, her husband thanks his parents every day for having his foreskin chopped off. So he's closer to God. And I was just...
He thanks them every day? That's pretty weird.
Or doesn't, but, you know.
What?
Yeah.
So what a bunch of freaks.
Yeah, again, cognitive dissonance. You have men that were mutilated as babies saying, oh, I'm glad this happened because, you know, my penis was really messed up beforehand. I needed my foreskin chopped off and, you know, the sensitivity of my sexual organ to be, you know, dulled. Yeah, that's cool. And then you'll have, I knew this girl as well that was pregnant. And she was pregnant with a boy, and so I can only go so far with some of these issues because people are just stupid, and then they'll just, you know, just write you off and never talk to you again. So I asked, you know, are you guys going to circumcise? And I sent her a video of a circumcision, and, you know, babies screaming and wailing, and they're tied down to a board and, you know, having their penis snipped. And she probably didn't even watch it. And said, well, you know, my husband wasn't circumcised and he wishes that he was, so we're going to go ahead and have this baby circumcised. And I mean, these people should not be allowed to have children. I'm sorry.
like, if he wanted to be circumcised, you can get that done as an adult. He should have just went and did it if he wanted it so bad, instead of taking it out on his kid.
Good point. But he's probably like, oh, no, that might hurt. Well, yeah, I wonder how your highly sensitive newborn infant is going to feel when they are not even sedated. I mean, this is extreme child abuse. This is extreme, extreme sexual and physical mutilation and abuse. And that's why I hate even using the stupid word circumcision, because it just makes it sound like it normalizes it, you know, because everybody knows, oh, circumcision, normal, okay, like standard practice and North America, wasn't always, but I mean, it needs to be called what it is. It's child abuse. And you know, people are saying, oh, well, it's their religious right to do what they want with this baby. But I mean, is it okay for parents to, you know, and a lot of parents are not, they don't know. And again, they're trusting, you know, medical professionals and take the baby out of the room because, you know, if a mother sees that, I'm sure some like bit of her instinct left would run over and try and stop it. Maybe people are that numb. I don't know. But it needs to be called what it is. And we need to stop like giving people a, you know, get out of jail free card because, oh, well, you know, they didn't know any better or, you know, I'm sorry. Like, it's not okay. It's really not okay. It shouldn't even be a debate, you know, where, oh, well, some people, that's their choice. No, like, but again, you have this whole liberal mindset today where, oh, pedophiles, that's just their choice, although they can't help it. Like, that's just a sexual preference, but they don't always act on it. Like, this is how bad things are.
Right.
Pedophiles are considered, it's just a normal sexual orientation now.
Yeah, we live in a pretty frightening world in that capacity, and it's it's just all the more fuel to our fire, you know? I mean, because it's like every week, it's what's the new crazy shit that's out there this week from the liberal Jew camp. It's being promoted in universities and, you know, all over the television. So it's like, yeah, it's bad and I think it pisses me off, but I like to look at it as it's just more of a reason to fight.
Absolutely.
You know?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, years ago, people will probably be like, hey, you need to calm down a little bit, like, why you get so feisty about it, but it's like anymore, there's just so many things to be irate about.
I mean, our people are being exterminated. I mean, I have to remind myself of this every day, because, again, my brain, it's hard for me to even deal with this, knowing all this crap, you know, it's like, I have to realize that, like, when I leave my house, or even when I'm in my house, it's like dead. They don't want me having children, you know, and maybe this would be a good time to get into, like, the other aspect of white genocide, which is abortion. And I watched a documentary today. I don't even know if you'd call it a documentary. It was about a 20-minute, you know, video with pictures. And, you know, I kind of lost my appetite because it was really, I mean, you know, it's really disgusting because they were showing these aborted babies, and oh my god, it was so disturbing. And of course, you know, surprise surprise, half of the providers of abortions are Jewish and half of the clinics are Jewish, you know, run, and all of these movers and shakers in the abortion industry are Jewish. And there was this lady, Simone Veil, I gotta look it up. She's a French Jew. I don't know what her position is. Let me look it up real quick, and then I'm gonna read a lovely quote that she said. She is a French lawyer and politician who served as Minister of Health under Valérie Giscard. She's president of the European Parliament and member of the Constitutional Council in France, and she's a Jew. This is a lovely quote from Simone. "We are out to destroy the family. The best way to do that is by attacking its weakest member, the unborn child." So that's straight from her own mouth. I mean, does nobody freak out when they hear quotes like this from a psychopathic piece of crap like woman? I mean, like, she said it. Nobody.
Yeah.
Is nobody, like, burning stuff down right now? I mean, they can get away with saying stuff like this, and nobody cares. But it's really disturbing the amount of abortions that take place. And I remember somebody showing me this documentary on black genocide and how all the black babies are being aborted and Planned Parenthood is targeting black mothers and blah, blah, blah. If that's the case, why are there so many black babies running around, like illegitimate children, you know, with no real advanced unit?
Yeah, apparently there used to be some series of pamphlets going around when I was in college, and I think there were some billboards around New York City as well, and they were called, "Where Have All the Black Babies Gone?" And it was this whole... It was the same idea, this whole railing against, oh my God, they're aborting all the black children. But then yet, there's like a map that I think I posted on Aryan Women that was like white children per state. And yeah, I live in like this little magical rural paradise. But, you know, my state for the most part is pretty overran and shitty for the most part. Like, I don't want to leave my town, and I probably will have to at some point because of work. And, it's really apparent, depending on where you live and based on this map, that most of the kids running around are not white. And, you could talk to people who've worked in clinics, big and small, and they will – and I've talked to people who've worked in these places, and they've said, like, Yeah, the people that come in as, quote, regulars for abortion are people never want to say black. They'll say ghetto people. That's a funny one I hear a lot. They'll be like, yeah, the ones that come in for abortions, like, on a regular basis, it's really disgusting. They're usually these ghetto people. And that's very true. But, yeah, there must be, like, a high rate of abortion against, like, I tried to watch this documentary because you sent it to me, but I could never get it to load. Okay, here's my perspective on it from being trapped in feminist land for so many years, is that it's like a rite of passage almost, and it's literally been described as such, to get an abortion when you're a young woman. What? And something happens, and a lot of the time it's not because they were in an abusive relationship, or they were a drug addict, or they were raped. It's literally like they just have a boyfriend, they don't want to have kids, or they were drawing and had like a one-night stand. And they're like, well, I don't want to have this. And we've talked about other options before, like if you really can't have a pregnancy and it's early on, you could find some rogue herbalist out there, or you could take care of things yourself. I mean, being a young woman who has no money and my life is crazy, and any college-age woman, like, who has a somewhat stable head on her shoulders knows that something could happen, and I don't want to go to some butchery here, and the more I find out about them, the less and less I'm like, fuck that, I'm going to try to avoid that. If something were to happen and I couldn't have that child, like, I would take care of myself. That is for sure. And I've been aware of how to do that for a very long time. And that goes back to the same thing with, like, the birth industry. Like, all of these industries have been monopolized and controlled, where once upon a time, like, the women would deliver babies, but also abort babies. If that was the situation needed for hundreds and thousands of years, amongst our people, amongst all people, women, like, they took care of every aspect of a woman's body, including that. But when you take something and you make it into an industry, and you're saying, for this documentary, it's showing that it's not only the university Jews pushing this as a rite of passage, but you're saying they're in literal control of these huge abortion clinics like Planned Parenthood. Like, that's alarming. That's another thing we have to take back as our own. It's like, full-blown, like, our own complete medical system that has nothing to do with that. And what I do know about Planned Parenthood is that I know there was some controversy in the past 5 or 6 years about them allowing underage girls to get abortions without their parents' consent at some of the clinics.
Oh, my God.
But it's not even legal. I mean, they're very dicey. I mean, if somebody's in that situation and it is too late to self-abort, like, If you really, really don't have another option for your own safety or your life, like, go to a really tiny clinic, because Planned Parenthood is, like, the worst of the worst. And, like, quite frankly, I don't know what to think of Margaret Sanger. I hear so many things. Like, what did it say about – did it say anything about her in that documentary?
They didn't get into, like, Planned Parenthood in depth. They just kind of mentioned them as, like, a key player in this industry. But, yeah, I too have heard lots of different things about Margaret Sanger.
Yeah, I'll never know, like, as of now, like, what my position is fully on her, because it used to just be she was tired of seeing people die who were too sick to have kids, because this was a long time ago, and that she was doing rogue abortions anyway, or was trying to get birth control so these women wouldn't have to be in that situation, like, you know, a diaphragm or something like that. But it was, like, illegally getting them over in barrels from Europe. And during World War One, like, they had a huge, you know, like, syphilis outbreak amongst our troops, because the European soldiers were allowed to have condoms, but we had we had bans on condoms even for married people up until like 1965 or something like that in most parts of the United States. So that, yeah, that makes total sense, and I get where she's coming from. And apparently she was quite a racist. But at the same time, it's like, was she Jewish? Like, I don't know. I don't know anything else about her beyond that little bit of I saw some short movie on her years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really know too much about her either. I think she was mentioned in that whole documentary about the black babies all being aborted, and it's, you know, just the genocide of blacks. Well, they don't seem to really be hurting in numbers, that's for sure. When you look at a picture of the beach in South Africa like 20 years ago,
yeah,
and a big black like blob.
Like, and that's how it is here. I mean, they have huge amounts of kids, and you see these young white couples, and they're childless, and they have like one kid.
Waiting, they're like, I know all these couples that have been married for like 10 years, and they still haven't had kids. It's like grow up, come on, like get, like instead of buying all these stupid shoes and crap, like raise a kid. You know, and our media, you know, always tells us like, oh, being a parent sucks, and like, your life is going to be over. Yeah, your life is going to be a lot different. Like, I get it, you know. But there's a lot of amazing things about being a parent. And it's like, how cool is that? You get to, you know, take your DNA and mix it with another person who you want to mix your DNA with and, like, create another life or multiple lives. That's an amazing, sacred process. But it's just... oh, it's so lame, you know. You won't be able to live your Sex in the City lifestyle and go out clubbing every weekend because you're going to have a baby to take care of. Oh, my God.
Or people have children of, like, the worst people imaginable. Like, they're just really irresponsible about who they're sleeping with. They don't even, like, care about them or think that they could, like, possibly help if that situation were to arise. And or yeah, the whole, like, false money thing, like, oh, well, I need to buy, like, my boyfriend, like, a game system, and I really want these Jimmy Choo shoes, so I don't have time for this baby. But, like, I don't know. I know a lot of people. I know a good bit of people who have kids and have them pretty young, and, like, it's not easy. They have, like, no money. But
oh, it's not.
They've made it work.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom had my brother when she was, like, 17, and, like,
wow,
she made it work. I mean, the main thing that was bad about that situation is that, like, my bio dad, not the social Darwinist that I grew up with, but and my biological father, he was, I'm going to admit this, like, he was freaking, like, psycho. He was, like, really abusive, like, beat up my mom all the time, and it was not a good environment, and so that wasn't a good situation for her. But in regard to, like, you know, she has her faults, but in regard to, like, being a good mom and, like, working and doing everything that she could, like, she, you know, like, she's not stupid. I mean, she's worked on trucks and installed plumbing and cleaned houses, and then she's busted her ass and done a lot of things to, because so there's an age gap between me and my brother, and as young as she was and then as bad of a situation as she was, like, she pulled through and took care of him. So, like, if you are in a relationship with a strong person and, like, a baby happens, or you're getting to a point where you're getting a little older and you're like, all right, we should just do this. Like, just, you know, be aware and make sure that, like, you guys are happy and have some kind of job. And, like, beyond that, everything will work itself out. People are, like, they wait for way too long. And the people that don't are in really bad situations, unfortunately. And, you know, I'm just saying, if somebody cares about you and you have a roof over your head, like, you know, go for it. This is my advice at this point, especially for white people, because, like, our birth rate is pitifully low. And it's, like, I think, like, the average for all white people is, like, 3.6 or 3.7%. And we're barely at a point of which it can be recovered. So,
right. We're not even really replacing the people that are dying, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But then everyone else has got to feed out, like, tenfold.
Right. But that's not genocide, you know. That's just the way it is. Like, white people deserve to die, you know. And I always seem to see white people saying this. It's like, well, then go kill yourself, honestly. Why are you even alive? If you're such a piece of crap and, you know,
you know, your genes are evil and everything. Why, then why are you even alive? Go, you know, like, I'm not really encouraging that, but, you know, just to
right.
make a point. Well, if you hate your people so much, why are you even alive? Because you're a white person, you know? I guess they'll just spend their days being, like, pathetic and just, like, doing those stupid demonstrations where they're, like, you know, in chains and stuff. And, like, we're sorry. We're going to be slaves now, too. Just, so, you know, sensitivity.
Right. You know, blogging about how they're oppressed because they're demisexual or some made-up word. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, like, oh,
and they'll
God.
Say things like, unfortunately, I'm white.
Oh, my God. It's really sad. It's really sad. But, again, I kind of used to think this way, too, you know? I never really got into, like, the self-hating, like, oh, my God, we're such terrible people. But I would think, like, yeah, oh, my God, white people did some really messed up stuff, you know? When, you know, yeah, like, every people in history have, you know? But we don't learn about the Indians, you know, how they were killing, you know, themselves. They, you know, they were warring tribes before we ever came into the picture, but oh no, it's only the white people. Only white people can do bad.
Yeah, same thing with Africa. Like, I mean, everyone knows about what's going on in Rwanda, but, like, they're always going to, you know, throw it back on whitey somehow. It's like, really? I think the civil wars have, they're civil conflicts. They don't have anything to do with Europeans. Thanks.
Right.
But, oh, real quick about the abortion thing. Like, I know the article that went along with the link of the film that you sent me. The picture said, I had an abortion and she has her arms up and it's Gloria Steinem, who, you know, forever I didn't know she was Jewish, like the longest time. Because when she was younger, I mean, she really doesn't have like a standard like phenotype. I would even call her like attractive and,
yes.
You know, crypto, very tricky. And, you know, and some of the other names that were in my stupid books would be, they sounded really Germanic, like Susan Sontag. I'm like, oh, yeah, Sontag, like, that's a day of a week in German, like, cause I took German, so I was like, oh, these are German, but she's not the only one who has the shirt that says, I had an abortion, and, like, looks all happy about it, like, that was, like, a whole campaign.
Yeah, again, it was for Planned Parenthood. Again, it goes back to what you were saying about the rite of passage thing. You know, she's showed kind of almost like almost flexing her muscles like a, yeah, like powerful woman. I had an abortion. Like, you know, it's my right, you know, it's so, so gross. Also, I was reading, there's this Mishnah. It's like part of the Torah or it was called the Mishnah. I think it's like a collection of Jewish teachings. And basically in there it says, you know, that life arises the moment the baby like crowns, like its head is out of the birth canal. And that is when the soul comes into the baby. But before that, the baby is soulless. So, I mean, up until like 2 seconds before the baby crowns and comes out, they don't have a soul. So when you live under that belief, of course you could abort babies left, right, and center and not think anything of it. But I know for sure that babies have souls in utero and they respond to you and they can hear things and they can respond to light. They can respond to your voice. You can connect with them. They're very much aware of what's going on and, you know, it's like
that's so crazy. I did not know that was like their theory on the, you know, like in utero soul, because like every other culture, like from China to Europe to all different ancient ideas were that at least or either from the beginning or like at least midway through a gestational period, the baby would have a soul at some point. And they even say like, oh, well, like a certain system, energy loop will develop in the baby, or a meridian, or a chakra system. Like, I mean, this goes, and it's everywhere. Everybody will say that in utero, like, these things develop in the baby, and that they are conscious and aware and need to be taken care of. And even if somebody does have to, you know, even people I know who have had to get abortions because they were, like, raped or something, like, they were aware that, like, that was, that there was still a soul in there, and it was really, you know, just because a woman has to go through that doesn't make her, sure, there are, like, some really awful people who, like, use it as a form of birth control, and that's really fucked up, but, like, there are people that, like, really, that's not what they want to do, but at right. the same time, they don't feel like they have a choice because of their circumstances, and they were really torn up about it, and were, like, in therapy for years, and it was really hard on them because they were, even just living in the modern world that they live in, like, their body and their heart was still wise enough to know that that was a being and a spirit in there. Even living in the world where we go to universities and everyone's a freaking atheist, like, a woman, if she, even if she was pregnant, though it briefly, like, she knows. And so it's really frightening to think that you're telling me that they don't think that there's anything going on in the spiritual realm of that little being until they're crowning. Like, that's just, like, my world's changed just now.
Well, soulless. And they actually have a term for when the soul enters the baby, like, at birth. I forget what it's called, but they have an actual term for this. And that's when all of a sudden, magically, the soul enters the baby. And, like, we've had this belief, especially with modern obstetrics and the terrible tragedy that has been, we've believed that, you know, babies are a blank slate, you know, they come out and they don't remember anything. That's why, you know, people can justify circumcision, because babies don't feel pain. Yeah, I guess them screaming and crying is, they're just doing that for fun. You know, they're just exercising their lungs, I guess, you know, because they don't feel pain. I mean, really, really, like, that's retarded. Retarded to say that a baby doesn't feel pain. But a lot of people still believe this BS. So it's, yeah, it's really sad. And then, you know, if mothers are believing this and they're not, like, connecting with that baby that's growing inside of them on a deep level where, you know, you don't have to, like, talk to the baby, but just, like, taking 5 minutes a day to just connect with, I mean, there's a life growing inside of you that's miraculous. It's incredible, you know? And if they're not alive in there, why are they moving around? Why do they respond to certain sounds, or, you know, darkness and light? You know, you can put a flashlight up at like a certain amount of time the baby has been in the womb. I think around like 20 weeks is when they really start to respond to sound and light. And you can put a flashlight up to a woman's stomach and the baby will respond to it and, like, move out of the way. And they have images when, you know, when they're being ultrasounded, blasted with high frequency waves, they'll put their hands up over themselves to protect themselves. You're telling me that's just, you know, just stupid little pieces of flesh floating around in there that have no feelings and no senses yet, that they're soulless. I mean, that's ridiculous. Obviously, I think at a cellular level, I mean, there probably is a soul floating around somewhere. I don't know if they've, like, come into that body yet. Even at, like, two months of a pregnancy, the baby is, you can see, it's very tiny, but they're the shape of a baby. You know, like, they have little hands starting to form and little feet, and their heart starts beating at 18 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not trying to be all, like, pro-life or whatever, because I think that whole pro-life, pro-choice is just, it's all BS, and it's been set up to keep us arguing and not, you know, look at it. Sorry, what did you say?
I said, yeah, it's just a distraction.
It's just a distraction. I've had, like, I've lost friendships over this. And, you know, during these arguments, I've said, you know, I agree, I don't like abortion, but if someone is raped, I think they should have the right to abort the baby, you know? But you know, people will get really, really upset about this. And even during these arguments, I'll say, like, this is what they want us to do. They want us to argue about this, you know? And that's why they always use it during, like, the political campaigns. Oh, this person's pro-life, this person's pro-choice, and let's argue. You know, it's like the dialectic, the controlled, you know, two sides of everything.
And they're both, like, super dangerous because, like, you get these people that are, like, completely antinatalist and really aggressive about it who just want to abort everything and push for it. And then you have, like, the opposite spectrum of, like, no, I don't care that you're going to die because of a medical condition or that you were raped and you're a 12-year-old girl or
right.
that you were, like, attacked by a family member and that this child's probably going to have genetic disorders. I don't care. I mean, they're
right.
both, like, they're both really psychotic, and that's where, like, we have to find, like, a middle ground and manage those situations on a more personal level with, like, an experienced herbalist and midwife, like, that we need to have.
And we need to stop having sex with pieces of shit, you know? Like, have sex with that respects you, you know? Like, don't be having sex with people that, you know, you don't have the same values as. Because, yeah, a child could happen, you know. And young girls, we shouldn't have been having sex that young. I'm speaking personally. Like, no. It was all pushed on us. You know, we were sexualized from an early age. So you have this culture that's hyper-sexualized and this pornographic culture that's telling you, have sex, all day, every day. All you want to do is think about sex. We'll provide you with the condoms. We'll provide you with the abortions. You know, it's all just a mess, you know. So people shouldn't even be having sex with the people that they do that are, you know, that you don't have a deep kind of, you don't share the same values about life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, you're right.
With me on that, but, and I think it would be, you know, men that might disagree with me on that, but coming from a woman, like, you know, I have the potential to get pregnant, you know, and I would never, ever, ever want to have an abortion. I could not live with myself after that. I really couldn't. I mean, I just couldn't. So, you know, if I'm going to be a responsible adult and I'm going to have a sexual relationship with somebody, it's going to be somebody that, you know, I have the same values as. And I know
yeah,
that
I mean,
what
technically
it,
they could run away and you are still pregnant. So it's a little trickier for us.
Exactly. So we have to, you know, we have an immense power to create and to birth life, but with that comes like a great responsibility. You know, it's like you have to keep that space sacred in a way. And in this pornographic culture, it's all about like women just having tons of sex and just being on birth control because, you know, oh, you don't want to get pregnant, but that's not natural. Women are supposed to be pregnant, like, from an earlier age, I think. And, you know, I came to this conclusion recently. You have all these young girls coming out of high school that want bigger breasts. They want breast implants. If you really want bigger breasts, get pregnant. Like, it'll happen. That's, like, your free breast enhancement right there. And you're also fulfilling your duty to your people and to future generations, you know?
Yeah, when
so
you think about it, like, I know we have, like, support women's decisions in both life or removing life need be, depending, but when it came down to it, I mean, pretty much all the old pagan cults of the world were fertility cults and cults of the harvest and cults of the moon, and if they hadn't been, that wouldn't have made any fucking sense because they lived in a natural world where everything functioned on growth, death, and rebirth in every aspect of their life, including that, which has been stripped away from us because it's not something that we're tied to anymore.
Right.
It's lost a lot of meaning. And a lot of people, like, look how people used to find each other. Like, was that Frank that called in and said that they used the Lithuanian reef thing?
Yeah.
And it was like, there was, like, they like, expected you to have some sort of magical deep connection with the person that, like, this reef floated to. Or, like, Beltane was like, yeah, it was kind of a party fest, but, like, a lot of times that would probably end up being the person that, like, you would stay with, and you probably met them at one of the Beltane festivals amongst your people. And, yeah, people, you know, were connected in a and probably a much deeper way. And people were like, yeah, but they were like cave bitches. Actually, no, this is funny. I want to mention this cave bitch thing. There's like there's a rap song called Cave Bitch. It talks about how like we have no asses and like we're stupid and like black men don't like us, but then the contrary seems to be true. But it's some like gangster rap song from the 90s that you can look it up. It's called Cave Bitch, but I thought it tied into earlier. But speaking of, you know, the cave bitch, like people are gonna go on and say things like, "Oh well, you know, primitive women were treated terribly and blah blah blah." And it's like, no, it really depends on where you go and what society you were looking at. I mean, women still had the they had the right to even in the Middle Ages, they were able to divorce a man because he wasn't virile and he had to prove it in court. I mean, that wasn't really that long ago, and that was in the time of the early period of Christ's insanity. And out there amongst Europeans, and then prior to that, I mean, women were always able to, a lot of them, depending on the country, they could have land, they could get a divorce if he was abusive. Like, they had, like, these really basic rights. Like, you weren't dragged by your hair to a cave, and that's how it went. Well, except in the, I can't pronounce the name of the country, it's like a Euro-Asian country that you mentioned last week where they steal brides.
Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah, and that's in the modern age, you know? Like, people act like this is a thing of the past, and this is what happened amongst our horrible old Indo-European ancestors thousands of years ago, and it's quite the contrary. And that's how I think people were able to have a solid pagan agricultural hunting families is because, like, they formed pretty strong connections and
definitely
tried to
even
flow.
Exactly. Even looking back at like Celtic women, they had the right to, or Viking women, like they had the right to own property. They had so many rights.
Yeah.
And this is when the Jew is not in our lives, isn't, you know, feeding off of us. And that's the difference between white men and the rest of men in the world, is that white men love their women, and they are incredible, and I love them because I just think they're the most amazing things ever, you know. And when they're allowed to just be white men and to be strong and powerful, and they're not being, you know, like attacked at every single angle by everybody, they're the most amazing things ever, you know. When you have black men who like rape their women And I'm not saying that white men don't do this either, but I'm saying like a real white man, an Aryan man, you know. And you have Muslims cutting their women up, you know. We don't do that. So
right.
We actually have,
and if they are doing that, it's because they were taught in some capacity how to do that.
Right. Exactly. We actually have two calls. You want to check them out real quick, and then maybe we can wrap things up. I know there's another show.
Oh
going
yeah,
on.
No, that'd be awesome.
All right, well, I will go with 229. You've been on hold for a long time. Sorry. 229, are you there?
Yes, great show. This is Mike Sledge, and first time I've called in to your show, but I really felt the Margaret Sanger argument tonight was very important. The Jews always play both sides against the middle. So the radical pro-life stance is controlled by them, and the violent abortion on demand stance is controlled by them. And this is important to understand, because what they actually do is they use the both extremes to wage war against the middle. And the radical center, where sanity is, where secularism is where their war is. So this is very important to understand. I think you guys did a great job tonight on this topic. But I would say that, I mean, this, you know, either way you slice it, it works in their favor, because they run the Child Protective Services through the adoption clinics, which are actually owned by Operation Rescue and the Catholic Church and the Jewish Orthodox groups. They also run the abortion clinics. So either way, they profit, and it is the sinner that gets hurt every time by this topic.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, very well said, because that's exactly what they do. And I could never really put my finger on it, but this is before I really understood the immense control that Jews have over everything. But I knew that we were being played, because I knew that, you know, if they're ever going to take two extreme sides to something, we're being played. You know, it's not like one is right, one is wrong. No, they're both being played mm-hmm. for a certain agenda. And like you said, in the middle where the rational people are, you know, then mm-hmm. those get screwed because it's, you know, the two extremes dominating. So yeah, that really makes sense. Thank you so much for calling in. Really cool to have you call in. We are honored.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's really cool. You never called in before. So this is great.
Yeah, great show. And one more thing real quick is Margaret Sanger, actually, the Jews always love to play the race card. You know, and get us to support a agenda that will ultimately, in the long run, kill white future generations under the banner of racism. And I think Margaret Sanger did this very, very brilliantly in that she promoted abortion as a means to reduce minority populations. But the Jews always knew from the very beginning that their target was European people in the white race. And the only people that have used birth control and abortions in mass has been the white European people. And we see this today coming into effect with zero population growth on our end and the rise of third world populations. And I think they always play in our sympathies and even use racism and cloak it to hide their agenda. They're very insidious, and they're very slick. And I think you guys did a great job tonight hitting on those points. Anyway, I'll go, but great show.
Thank you so much, Mike. And I'm glad
that
you cleared up that whole Margaret Sanger thing for us, because we didn't really know. We had heard so many different things, so that really – puts it in perspective for us. Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you.
All right. Great show. Good night, y'all.
All right. Bye.
What? Awesome. Very cool.
Nice. Very.
Yeah. Awesome. That's great. I guess we'll check in with this 541 number. Maybe they're just listening. I thought they called in before. 541, are you there?
Hey, Sinead and Hex. This is Chris calling.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Hey, good. I actually have to run in just a second, but just wanted to call and say thank you for doing the show. I think you guys consistently bring up just point after point that you all talk about is exactly what we need to be focusing on and talking about, and I really appreciate it coming from women, and a lot of the stuff only women can really do, because I think a lot of men feel uncomfortable talking about it because they aren't able to have babies, or they don't have babies themselves already, and don't have that kind of motherly instinct. And you guys bring it out and reflect a lot of good stuff back to us that we need to hear, I think, right now. So thank you for that.
Oh, thanks so much for calling in. It means a lot to get positive
feedback.
Thank you. Yeah, it makes us want to keep doing this. So thank you so much for taking the time to call in and let us know that. It really means a lot.
Yeah, thank you all. And I haven't spent a lot of time on AryanWomen.com yet, but I look forward to checking it out. And I don't know if there's forums there or what, but call in or post some thoughts I have on the whole the eugenics aspect of how it was done, probably the right way back in the day.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah,
that'd be great. Yeah, please do.
Growing in numbers. Every day. It's kind of like a social network. We have different groups and post about stuff. It's really cool, so we'd love to see you over there.
Yeah, I've been exploring lots of ideas, especially, you know, all these terms like abortion and birth control. I mean, really it comes down to, I think, psychopath control. You know, is what we should call it. And you know, we need to not have babies of people who probably are going to turn out to be pretty fucking crazy.
Well said. Well said.
Good point.
So, all right. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate the show. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Have a good night.
You too now. Bye.
Sure. Bye. Oh, that's always nice to hear. That's good. Sometimes I'm about to do a show and I'm like, crap, I don't really know where I'm going with this. I have all this stuff going around in my head. I hope some of it comes out and makes sense. It's good to
that's
know.
That's how I feel too. And like our brains work more concentrically than like a linear dude brain. So sometimes I'm like, are we talking in circles? What are we doing? But I guess we still have a nice outline. Gets organized somehow. It all filters out from our brains. Because I feel the same way. I'm like, I'm just going around in my head circles. So.
So it always seems to kind of pan out, though. You know, even when I'm last minute, like, oh, crap, I don't know where I'm going with this. I hope I can make this, you know, come out and make sense. So that's good to know. And we're not losing people completely.
No. I think that was a nice progression. Like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but it progressed very nicely. It could have just turned into us just, like, yelling about black pervs. I don't know, but it didn't. Like, it became a lot more. So, we started in a good place and ended in a good place. So, yeah, I'm pleased and... I'm happy to hear that feedback, so thank you, and thanks for people tuning in, too, because I know there's a show over at Truth Militia tonight, and I totally understand people going there to listen, but for those who are listening or are going to listen in the archives after that, the other show, like, you know, thank you for listening, so I'll put that out.
Definitely, and I just wanted to mention real quick, next week, Hex may or may not be able to make it. We will miss you if you can't. But I'm going to be having on, or we're going to be having on if you're there, a young couple that I spoke with today, actually, for the first time. I did a video chat with them, and it was really cool. I felt like I had known these people forever, and I wish they lived closer. But they're a young couple that has had two amazing home births. And I got to see one of their little babies on Skype today, and he's just the cutest little blonde hair. I think he had blue eye, just the cutest little thing. And they're going to come and share their experiences with their home births, which were for the most part unassisted. The midwife showed up like as the baby was crowning. So, you know, this woman did it all on her own and had a great experience and, you know, did not go to the hospital and, you know, was not in excruciating pain. And, you know, they're homeschooling, and she's actually studying to be a midwife now. And they're just really, they're awesome people. More people like this need to have children. So that made my day. And they're going to come on next week to share their experiences, because I know I can only say so much about birth. I haven't given birth yet in my life. So, you know, it'd be nice to hear it from a couple that has. So, yeah.
No, that'd be awesome, because I know neither of us have went through that process. So it's really cool that, like, yeah, you got these guys on. I know you mentioned something to me earlier about that, but I didn't know they were going to be on our network. I don't know what my brain was doing when you told me that. But, yeah, so now I'm really excited because they're coming on here. So that's awesome. Yay.
Yeah, they're really cool. I just wish, like, all these people lived closer because, oh, they're just so cool. You don't find people like that, you know, like-minded people, really. So, yeah.
Right.
It'll be great to have them on. So it's been awesome as usual. It's nice to be able to do this live again. I've been working every Sunday, so finally we got to, you know, do it live.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's great. It has a rush to it that you feel. You're like, all right. So, yeah.
So, all right.
This has been awesome. Okay.
All right. Well, talk to you soon, and thank you everybody for listening, and have a great week. All right. Bye.
Oh, and Happy New Year coming.
Gosh, yeah, Happy New Year.
Yeah, New Year's like Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Is
yep, okay, so Happy New Year, folks.
Happy New Year. Let's hope this one is better than the last.
Yeah, right? Let's go 2014 for the best, so. All right, well, awesome.
Good night.
All right, bye.
good friend, Skewmaster Pop McNamara. So good as to write these words down. Your brothers have all gone to find work in England. The house is so empty and sad. The crop of potatoes is sorely infected. A third to a half of them.
Thank you.